And if you teach these kids, you've got to have all of those fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it sort of led me into the message that I'm going to preach this morning. I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, to turn to James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And as I said last Sunday, I'd like for you to have your notebooks to take notes. Make sure you have those and keep those in mind. Mainly because as you speak with people, you can share what God has laid on your heart. Yesterday we went to Clayton in the evening to see my stepdaughter, and when we drove over there, we stopped and ate at a restaurant, and halfway there I said, pull over, and we had to pull over because I had to write stuff down that I was thinking about. Now, I don't know how you are, but if I remember something in Clayton, I'm not going to remember it by the time I get to Durham. So I have to write it down, and I have notebook after notebook with things I'm thinking about. Some of you use your phones because you have your phones with you or your tablets, but I have to use the old conventional method because I'm from the old conventional school. So anyway, I hope that you will keep notes and you will let God lead you in those notes. I'm going to read from James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18. And it is, if anyone is among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The key verse for us this morning is in verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I told you last Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on doctrines, and I'm going to make sure that we understand the principles of the Bibles, but this morning is on prayer, and within it you're going to hear a lot of locked biblical doctrines. The kingdom of God and its supernatural power over the natural world is available to men under the right principles and environment set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say this. For those that say they don't believe in miracles, then you don't believe in God. It is impossible to believe in God and not believe in miracles. Because what is a miracle? It's when something seemingly is impossible and yet it happens. I believe that God, if He created this universe, also has sovereign rule over this universe, and He can supersede the laws that He created. Which means He can do supernatural things over against the natural. Those who only think in the natural cannot imagine the supernatural. But the scripture said, do you need to be healed of a sickness? Do you need financial help? Do you need the very weather to be changed? Elijah did, apparently. He used that for his purposes. This is available for you if you are a righteous man and know the makeup of an effective, fervent prayer. Now notice that. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So I'm going to begin this morning with, what is a righteous man? How many of you are members of Sam's Club or Costco? Anybody? All right. Why did you do that? Do you know you paid a fee once a year? $75, $80, whatever it is, $90. You paid a fee so that you can go to their store. Well, why would you do that? You can go down to the store down here and you get stuff. So why did you pay this fee? I'm a member of Costco. So I did that. Because Sam Walton came up with an idea. He said, wait a minute. He said, I can offer, if I have a membership and I have membership dues and this type, I can offer things that I couldn't at my Walmarts. And so if you go to Sam's Club and Costco, which has parroted it, and others like it, if you go to a Sam's Club, what you can do is you can walk down an aisle, and on one side of the aisle you can be buying batteries and tires from your car, on the other side, makeup. And you can go on down and you can get groceries, and then you can go and you can get many other things like Walmart, but in bulk, and they're extremely inexpensive if you know which ones to buy. Many of the stores, that's where they buy, because they can buy in bulk there, and it works out in usually unusual circumstances. But what's interesting about that is all the, by the way, you can get travel. If you want to travel somewhere, they have a travel department there. They've got lined up with the dentist. They've got lined up with optical. You can go get your glasses there. For much cheaper, by the way, I will tell you, much cheaper. Costco for me is so much cheaper with the glasses. And so I go to get a lot of things there. They have printing there. But by the way, if you go to the door at Costco or Sam's and you stand there and say, I'm a good person, will you let me in? They're going to say, well, if you're a good person, then go right over to that desk and get a membership. And you're going to say, but I don't really need a membership. I'm such a good person. And they're going to go, well, we have this, we card you when you come in the door. If you have a card, a membership card, with your picture on it, we will allow you in the door. Don't they do that? They do that. Because I have forgotten my card before. Had to go get my card. Come back. They'll let me in the door. And if you say, but I can sneak in there. Because these people aren't, you know, they got a lot of things going on. And yeah, I guess you could sneak in. But you know, even if you sneak in, you can't purchase a thing in there. Not one thing. Because you have to have that card to slide before you can purchase something. Because at Sam's Club, you have to be a member of the club. It's interesting that people understand that. And they say, well, that makes sense. I can understand that. And yet, when it comes to the kingdom of God, they say everybody ought to be able to get whatever they want out of the kingdom of God. I mean, I can live like hell and go to God and get whatever I want with a little prayer. No, I got news for you. You need a club membership in the kingdom of God, and your picture needs to be on it. But the picture that they really want to see on it is Jesus Christ. You cannot come into the kingdom unless you're righteous and you're a righteous person. You can't come to God, before God, to ask and plead His grace unless you're a righteous person. It interests me. People will say, well, I prayed and God answered my prayer. Did He really? Really? Maybe your neighbor was praying for you for that item and they're a righteous person, but you said a little prayer, a little shoddy prayer, and you thought that was God answering your prayer. God answers the prayers of a righteous man or woman that has membership in the kingdom. I have heard people say, I believe most people are good and should have what all Americans have, been benefited with equally, and I believe the same about the kingdom of God. I don't cheat anybody. I sing Kumbaya by the fires of the religious and rights organizations. I believe in God and I try to live a good life. For many today, that is righteousness. It's because it's their righteousness. This gives me the right to come before God to plead His grace and deliverance. However, it might do us well to see what God, who created us and established the kingdom of God, answers and says that the prayers of the righteous really are. God Himself is righteous. And if God is righteous, who operates in a certain way, not man's way, He requires His form of club membership into the kingdom. He requires you to come in and establish yourself as righteous, not through our own righteousness, but through His. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." In 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." All through the Bible, I could probably give you 100 scriptures where it speaks to the fact that you must be righteous for your prayers to be heard. It's said in different ways. It's said in the Old Testament. It's said in the New Testament. Jesus talked about it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 15, it explains what the righteous are. "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe in God has made him to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." We gain our righteousness not in and of ourselves, nor do we devise our righteousness, nor do we in this congregation decide what righteousness is. And that's what a lot of people think in the world out there. Excuse me. Churches go around making up the rules, making up the righteousness. We're people of the Word. And people of the Word believe that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Excuse me. In Romans chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, For as through the disobedience of one man that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man the many will become righteous. The law was brought in us that the trespasses might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his righteousness and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Jesus was sent to make righteousness. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I used all those scriptures, and there's many more, to let you know all through the New Testament, all through the Old Testament, you are made righteous through the Son. You, by faith in Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. Not in the works that we do, but by faith in Jesus. So what is club membership in the kingdom of God? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and live according to that, then you are righteous. And there are those that say, well, I know so-and-so, and he says he's a Christian, but he doesn't live too good. The righteousness of the Christian is not based on their works, good or bad. It's based on their faith and trust in Jesus. I'm not righteous in my own self. I am righteous because I have trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But I want you to notice something else. In Ezekiel 18:9, it says, he follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous, he will surely live, declares the Lord, sovereign Lord. I've had so many people who've asked me, well, what about the people who don't know Jesus? What about the people in other lands? What about the people who lived before Jesus? How were they judged? How did they get to heaven before Jesus? Number one, it says in Ezekiel 18:9, he follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. You were judged according to how you kept the law for Jesus. And then also, because God revealed it in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, you remember there was a man, his name was Simeon, in Jerusalem, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. In essence, he had been revealed that there was a Messiah, and he was following God, trusting in the Messiah even before the Messiah came. Did you know that people before Jesus came trusted in Jesus? They trusted in the one who would save them. They trusted in the promise of the one to come. And they were judged on that. That doctrine that I'm trying to get across this morning is so misunderstood and so dangerous because it could lead to a lack of salvation. A key verse, though, in verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I want to look at the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man very quickly. So the prayer of the righteous man to avail must produce the effective fervent prayer. I want us to look quickly at, first of all, the effective prayer. The effective prayer is needed for a prayer that moves mountains. With Elijah, he was able to pray for the rain to stop, and it stopped for 3 years and 6 months, and then he prayed again, and the rains began again. There are obstacles today in your way, and you might want to see them removed. You might want to see God's hand to change things. I want you to know that God is about that. But you must have an effective prayer. And the effective prayer is prayers that first move heaven before they move on earth. Until God's heart is touched and moved, the things on earth will never be moved. Until the kingdom of God is stirred by the prayers of people, effective prayers, there will not be anything going on earth. And so effective prayers are prayers that move the kingdom and cause the kingdom to stir. And then when the kingdom is stirred, then things begin to happen. The prayers that have an effect on the heart of God will cause things to happen. And think about it. Think about Abraham's prayer in the Negev. Think about Jacob's prayer at the foot of the ladder to heaven. Think about Joseph's prayer at the bottom of the pit. Think about Moses' prayer on Mount Sinai before a burning bush. Think about the prayers of Samuel in the temple. Think about David's prayers in the face of a giant and then later in the throne room himself. Think of Gideon on the threshing floor. Think of Joshua at Jericho. Think of Moses at the Red Sea and Ezra as a slave in Assyria. Think of Nehemiah in the courts of Cyrus. Elijah before 500 Baal priests, and also his prayers before a wicked queen who sought to kill him. Think of Esther's prayers in the court of Artaxerxes. Think of Simeon's prayers in the temple. Think of Jesus' prayers in the garden and at the tomb of Lazarus. Think of Paul's prayers on a ship. Think of Peter's prayers in Jerusalem. And think of Peter and John in that prison. And when they began to pray, it must have shook heaven, because it sure shook earth. And the walls shook and the doors opened in that prison. But it did not open until the windows of heaven had been opened by the prayers, the effective prayers of Peter and John. I want you to know that the effectual prayers come from fervent prayers. The prayers that affect heaven, the prayers that open the doors in heaven, the prayers that move the heart of God, the prayers that cause the host of heaven to begin to cheer and sing, are prayers that are fervent. And what is that? That, my friends, is a prayer of supernatural led prayer. Prayers led by God Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled prayers come from the very throne room of God. Philippians 1:19 says this, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which has happened to me, will turn out for my deliverance." I want to first of all say this. Love is the first thing that begins to move God's heart. When you're in love with God, it will move God's heart. Whenever you're in love with God and you're kneeling on your knees, praying to Him, begging Him, searching Him out, it moves God's heart and it moves the host of heaven. Love transforms. I got two daughters, and I know they love their daddy. I think they could have asked for the moon, and I would have sought to try to get them the moon, because their love for me was known. And whenever they asked, I said yes. But you know what was interesting about my daughters? They also loved me. And the reason I know they loved me was there was times I had no money. And they would say, "Dad, it's okay. I understand. I don't need that right now." I remember my daughter one time looking at me and saying, "Dad, I'm going to take care of my prom dress." Because she knew I didn't have much money. And I said, "How are you going to?" She says, "Let me handle it, Dad. I'm going to take care of it." And she went and found her a part-time job. She raised all her money and she went and found a $120 gown. Do you know how much now some of these girls are spending on prom dresses? And back then, But she found her own prom dress. She paid for it herself. And I know that's because she loved me. Let me tell you something. After that, she could have asked for anything. I would have. If you love God like that, if you love God and say, God, I'm going to take care of this because I love you. God is sitting there going, ask anything you want. And so as we come before God, we learn to love. Second one is joy. Joy and praise of the Lord will move the heart of God. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The third is peace. If you come to God and you have peace in your heart, and you have your peace with your fellow man, and you have peace with your neighbors, and you have peace with your family and your heart, God hears those prayers. Where am I going with this? What did these kids just get through saying a little while ago? Fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Faith is one of the big ones. Prayers of faith will move mountains. Faithfulness, self-control. Here it is. And it was like a light bulb came on. I honestly have never heard anybody preach this subject before, this way. I've never heard this. I've never read anything on this. It just came to me. You see, here's the deal. If I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm praying love, joy, peace, patience, all the things that move God and move the kingdom of God are in when I pray in the Spirit. So the very nature of prayer is this. When you learn to pray in the Spirit, you're learning to pray everything that moves the kingdom of God and causes things to happen now. I've had people say, I'm going around and I'm going to find a bunch of people to pray for so-and-so because they need it. And just more and more people to pray. Well, that's good. That's good. But I tell you what I'd rather have. I'd rather have a saint, a righteous person who knows how to pray in the Spirit. And whenever they pray, stuff happens, praying for me. When my dad passed away, one of the chief thoughts that I had was, oh my goodness, what will I do now? For he is my mainstay in prayer. Every time major things were happening in my life, I called my dad. I knew that this man, when he prayed, stuff happened. The kingdom of God was shaken. The doors flew open, windows opened, blessings came, and the things that they prayed for happened. I want you to know it's true. And I've got a book right here. My dad wrote this before he got sick enough, before he died. It's an incredible journey. It's his story. And all through here, everything was preceded by prayer. I went through this last night. Well, it was hundreds of times. I can't even countless. Everything that happened in his life was preceded by spiritual prayer. Prayer of the Spirit. Powerful prayer that moved the kingdom of God. In the 1980s, about 1987, I believe it was, my grandmother, Pridgen, my mom's mother, died in Charleston, South Carolina. We lived in Conway, my wife and my seven-year-old, and we decided we needed to go ahead and get there early and be with the family. So we got in the car. The only real road that we knew was Highway 55 that went down, 54, that went down through the woods. I mean, it was a two-lane road. It was a logging truck road. Now, how many of you know what a logging truck road is? It's a road where the loggers rule. They're going to go through there at 90 miles an hour, and you better just hang on. We were driving along, and I got behind a logging truck. Now, some of them go fast and some of them go slow. And this one was going, 35, 40 miles an hour, and it was 55 speed limit. Finally, there was a place where the yellow line stopped and I could pass. And I pulled out, and I had an old car, but I pulled out and started around that long logging truck. They're long because the logs stick out way beyond the end. And I got halfway around it and looked up. There was a curve coming. I tried to speed up. I had my foot to the floor. As I came, was getting close to the cab of the truck, I looked up, and there was a truck coming the opposite way, a logging truck, straight for me. My wife rose. My daughter screamed. It was the end. I already had my foot all the way to the floor. There's no way around. And then suddenly, that car jumped about 10 feet, almost cleared the ground. I don't know where it came from, and we just pulled in, and that truck went by me. At that moment, I stood there and I said, how did that happen? That miracle of grace. To this day, I don't know where that came from, but I do want you to know this. I talked to my dad at the funeral, and he said, son, this morning I knew everybody was coming from everywhere, and I pleaded God's grace all over everybody who was traveling. It was God's grace that caused you to. And I sat there going, if I didn't have a dad who knew how to pray, if I didn't have a dad who knew how to pray in the Spirit, to where it shook heaven and heaven was taking care of me, I would not be here today. And there's probably many other times. And now my dad's gone about a year ago. And it's like I've come to the place that he's passed the baton to me. The greatest thing I can give my children is to learn how to be a prayer warrior that prays in the Spirit. And when I pray in the Spirit, things happen. Earth is shaken because heaven is shaken. And when everything is shaken in heaven and all the doors are poured out, I know I have given my children everything. You can buy them every last toy in the world and every electronic gizmo and every fidget you want to. I want you to know something. The greatest gift you can ever give your children is to become a prayer warrior that when you pray, the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God just says, yes, this man is going to have his prayer answered. I would that you, each of you, know and learn how to pray in the Spirit. A kingdom prayer, that you might be able to see the things of God come about on earth as they are in heaven. Father, open our hearts. Reveal to us what it means to pray in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live spiritual lives in Christ Jesus, our Lord, that we might become prayer warriors and prayer champions for your kingdom service. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God has so much available for you and your family. But here's the key: learning how to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, which means a lot of stuff is going to happen when an effectual, fervent prayer goes up from a righteous person.